Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, that was fun. That was quick, wasn't it? Always leave them wanting more. I didn't see anybody clamoring for more, though. But oh, you did? All right. Well, thank you. All right. Well, yeah, we got something else for you right here. And this is sort of the introduction to our program. So why don't you play it for them?
Baba, he's the good shepherd. Everywhere I go, he knows. Baba, he is my savior. I will follow where he goes. Jesus loves me, finds me, cares for me.
Hey, that's a good one, Jason. That was Jason right there. All right, well, come on up here, Jason. We're going to do a little program together, and we're going to be talking about sheep and shepherds and discover something that we already know because the 23rd Psalm taught us that. The Lord is my shepherd. But there's just so many aspects of that, so much to appreciate about how the Lord is our shepherd. So go to that next slide there. And
is this on?
Give him number two. No, he's number four. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm way down there. I'm number four.
Okay. Well, yeah, while he's getting that ready. See, there's me and Jason right there. We thought we'd put a photograph of us so you could see that we're sheep.
He's the taller one. I'm the little one.
Okay, let's go to the next one there. Those are pretty cute, aren't they? Well, Psalms 100 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. He has made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So that's what God thinks about us. We're the sheep of it. He could use this other mic if y'all want. I already put the batteries in. Just use this mic here. Hey, Brett.
This one okay?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Do y'all mind being called a sheep? Do y'all mind that? Tell them, Jason, some kind of drawbacks to being a sheep.
Well, did you know, I'm sure you do, but sheep are the only one needs a shepherd. You've never heard a dogard or a horseard or a coward. Sheep is the only animal that needs a shepherd because they're blind. And they have to be led around. And that's who God appointed us. He compared us to a sheep. Because really we do, whether we realize it or not, we need our shepherd to guide us.
Well, sheep are very needy. And they're not very smart. Sorry, folks. Don't mean to insult you. But they're not that smart. And they're pretty defenseless.
Yeah.
What else about them? Do you have any
Well,
they wander off.
They do. And one thing that we can always remember or should remember, the time there was 100 sheep and one of them wandered off. And he left the 99 to go out and to seek and to save that which is lost. So that shows his love for us, that he will go out and search for us if we wander off.
Well, around those hills around Jerusalem was really a dangerous place for a sheep to be. They could be attacked even by lions, bears, wolves. Wolves was their main enemy. But they were very vulnerable. They couldn't bite back. Isn't that nice? We're sheep. We don't bite. But that makes us kind of vulnerable. And but we're not completely on our own. Why? We have a shepherd who's watching over us.
Yes, the Lord is our shepherd.
Yeah. And
I shall not want.
Well, let's look at that. Let's bring that up. Look at the scripture there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when I was a little kid, I had such crazy ideas in my head. I know you never got those. But when I read the 23rd Psalm, I thought, why would you, if he's your shepherd, why wouldn't you want him? See, that's how I read it. He's the good shepherd, but I don't want him. I shall not want him. And I thought, yeah, I want him. He's my shepherd. So that's the first thing a sheep needs to know and understand. We do have a shepherd. And what does he do, Jason?
He makes us lie down in green pastures that we might get rest. And at that time, he restores my soul. Because as we follow Christ, there's at times we do get low. There's things that can happen, things we can get involved in, and then our relationship needs attention. And that is something we really need to constantly work on, is our relationship. And it's a twofold thing. One is a spiritual relationship, and also, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to work on our relationships one to another.
Have any of y'all ever been in a green pasture? Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a pasture that wasn't green, but it was rocky, it had thorns, it was just sandy, it was a barren place? Have you? Okay. Now, here's the good news. God, the good shepherd, did not lead you there. You might have wandered off there, but that's not where he wants you to stay. You might say, well, I guess that's where he wants me. No. What does the psalm say? He wants us to lie down in green pastures. That's a good shepherd. Shepherd's not going to lead them through rocks, rocky paths, but green pastures. You want to do the next one there?
He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Oh, okay. He leads me beside still waters. Now, there's something about a sheep. Their wool is so thick, and they have an instinct that they are uncomfortable around rushing waters because they could drown. So a lot of times, as a shepherd was leading the sheep, if the water was rushing, he would build up a little dam for his sheep. He had that kind of love that he made the sheep feel comfortable, and he placed them in that position where they could drink and get refreshed.
Yeah, and it also says there, he restores my soul.
Yes.
Ooh, aren't you glad we have a God that restores our soul? Amen. Why? Because our soul needs restoration. Sometimes we just get low. We get discouraged. We think that nobody cares about us and dwell too much on the negative. Now, I don't know if sheep really dwell on the negative, but I've heard that they're sort of, what should we call them? Sheep are a little, what, neurotic? I don't know that they're neurotic, but they're kind of anxious. Yeah. And they can get skittish and scared real easily. You saw in the little video the lightning and how they were afraid. Well, that's the way sheep are. But you know what comforts a sheep when he starts to be afraid? Maybe he hears a wolf over there in the bushes. What comforts the sheep? The shepherd is right there Nothing's going to happen to me. Why? The shepherd is right there. So remember little old David that kept the sheep back there a long time ago? He was just a kid. But, you know, he ran off a bear. Well, it says he killed him. Killed a bear, killed a lion. They were trying to get the sheep. That was his job. He wasn't going to let anything get at those sheep. And the sheep were not worried when they looked over there and say, hey, there's David right over there. Just calm down. Keep your cool. We're safe.
And there's something that God prepared for us. He told Peter, he said, Peter, feed my sheep. Now that's what Pastor Steve and Pastor Doug are for. They're under shepherds, and God gives them the word which feeds our soul. So he has not left us without hope and help. But he uses them, gives them the word that we need to feed and restore our souls.
Yeah. Yeah, one other aspect there. You know, I've never shepherded sheep, so I'm just going by what others say about this. But one of the things I've heard that a good shepherd would do with the sheep is that during the day, he would call each sheep. He had a name for every one of them. You know what that means? God knows your name. Yeah. You ever felt like, God, do you even know I'm down here? Oh, he's the good shepherd. He knows your name. Well, a shepherd would call out each one of the sheep, call them out by name, and they would come over to him, and he would just run his hands all over them for burrs, stickers, something that might have been dirt, whatever, and just kind of, you know, love on them and check and see if they're doing okay, see how they're feeling, make sure they're feeling okay. And he would do that with each one of the sheep. So even though you're a part of the flock, God has an individual concern for you.
Yes, he does. What did he promise? He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's right here by us whether we feel him or not. And one time, I was so low. I was going through something, and I felt like God had left me. I felt like he had forsaken me. I was so down. And God doesn't speak to me too often, but I was so low, Steve. And God spoke to my heart. He said, what do you feel like? And I told him. I said, Father, I felt like you forsook me. I felt like you've left me. I'm so down. He said, what does my word say? I said, well, Lord, your word says you'll never leave me nor forsake me. He said, what are you going to do, believe your feelings or my word? Well, I chose to believe his word. My feelings change from time to time, but his word never changes.
Yes, that's a good one, Jason. Have you ever had any negative feelings about yourself or maybe what's going to happen during the day? Kind of worried, kind of nervous, kind of upset? Well, at that time, you need to have a little talk with yourself and say, wait a minute, am I going to go by my feelings or am I going to go by what I know? Get into God's word and be reminded that God, he never leaves you nor forsake you. You're the apple of his eye. He cares about you. He wants to establish and encourage and restore you. And that's the business that God is in. So you just kind of have to remind yourself, because you're kind of like that sheep that's kind of over there. He's a little bit worried. Is the shepherd really going to take care of me? Well, you'll find out in God's word. Don't go by how you feel. Go by what you know.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, well, so here's a good one right here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I understand outside of Jerusalem, there was a place called the valley of death. So whenever somebody would read that scripture, they'd say, I know exactly where that is, because it was a God-forsaken place.
Yeah, we go through places like that where it's low, we're discouraged and things, but we have to stand on that word, even though we're walking through those valleys like the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there you go.
He's with me.
He didn't say good luck.
No.
Hope you make it.
No.
No.
He doesn't do that. And one thing, something else that's important to remember, God never tries. Because if he did, that would mean
he might fail. He tried. He said, well, I gave it my best shot. I'm sorry. It didn't work. No,
my God doesn't try. He does.
And he doesn't tell us to try to trust him. No. He just says, trust me. But you know what? The neatest part of that little verse right there in verse 4, what I like, the key word there is through. See, that means you're going to the other side.
Yep.
You're not. He didn't say, even though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death.
Through.
No, I'm going through. He was with you in the beginning. He's with you in the middle. And he's with you when you come out the other end. So, and remember, it didn't say into death. It's the shadow of death. Don't worry about death. It's just a shadow. We come out the other side. Yeah. Jesus said, if you put your faith and trust in me, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Oh, you might stop breathing temporarily, whatever. But you see, all you're doing, you're just shedding this body and picking up a new one. Yeah. You're getting a new body, which most of us would like that pretty much, wouldn't we? How'd you like a new body?
Man, I'm ready.
You ready for it right now. Bring it on, Lord.
And you know, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They use that rod to beat off the wild animals.
They didn't use it to beat the sheep?
Oh, yeah, some. But have you ever noticed or wondered why the staff was shaped like it was? There's a reason.
Had a crook in it.
It had a crook in it, and it could fit right up under the sheep's, under back behind his leg. Because there was a lot of rocks and little crevices that they could fall into, and that staff, he could just reach down there and hook it up behind his little legs or his horns and lift him up out of there.
And then he would beat him with the stick.
And then beat him with the stick for
God. We're joking about that. Because some people think that rod was to beat the sheep. No, that's not what the rod was for. It's beat off the wild animals. Yeah. He doesn't want you bruised and hurt and injured by anybody. So that's why your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So it's not even there for discipline. They're there to comfort you. If you're kind of worried, you hear this wolf howling over in the distance, and you're getting kind of nervous, you look at the shepherd, and the shepherd just looks at you and lifts up his rod and goes, don't worry about a thing.
Got it.
I'll take care of that. And old little David could say, see this slingshot right here? I'll take care of that bear. I'll take care of that lion. Don't you worry about a thing.
Didn't it say he would fight our battles for us?
Yeah,
say that?
That's right. And that's what the shepherd does. He fought the battle for the lambs, for the little lambs. That's a good one.
Yeah, and you know, he told us not to lean under our own understanding, but to acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he'd guide and direct our paths.
It's a win-win situation when the Lord is your shepherd.
Amen.
Let's go through the next two verses. You start off there. Jason.
I says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Well, that's something that the Lord did, that the shepherd would do. He would provide them a place and feed them. And the little sheep, when they was getting grass, a lot of times there was thorns among those rocks and thorns, and they'd get their little noses scratched and everything. But the end of the day, when they put them in the pen, the shepherd would be there by the door, and he would take the olive oil and anoint their little noses and put it on, and he'd offer them a water, have a cup of water, and it was overflowing, an abundant supply, and he would give them a drink.
Yeah.
That's the way our God is.
Yeah, and he leads us by still waters earlier. This is kind of what he's talking about. You see, they wouldn't drink from a rushing stream, one that you could fall in and drown, you know, just swept away. No, he's going to lead me beside still waters.
Amen.
He makes sure that his sheep, when they get thirsty, they're going to have water. The shepherd makes sure the water is not far away.
Amen.
And I like that. This cup overflows.
Excess.
Y'all have probably experienced thirst, but I hope you've experienced God taking care of that thirst to overflowing. When you just have to say, oh, wow, I can't handle all this blessing. Lord, thank you so much. My cup overflows. A good way to pray when you get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord. You're the good shepherd. You cause my cup to overflow with what? Kindness, overflowing with grace, overflowing with mercy, overflowing with protection, encouragement, blessing, and favor.
Abundance. Of all of that that he mentioned, there's an abundance.
Yeah.
That's how good our God is.
Ephesians 3:20. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. That's what God will do. All right, so, boy, that is comforting to me. It's just, we just need to remind ourselves that often. The trouble is, Psalm 23, I think we don't read it very often because we go, oh, well, I've already read that. But sometimes just read it and make a prayer out of Psalm 23 and personalize it. And then put a little thank you with each one of these scriptures. Put a little thank you with, thank you, Lord, that that's the way you are. Thank you, Lord, that you care for me like a little lamb.
And what did he say? He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long?
Part of our lives.
Just a little part of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Part of our lives. But where are we going to end up, brother, after this? Where does it say? Where are we going to end up after this?
The house of the Lord forever.
House of the Lord forever. So what little bitty things we're going through now, hey, this is temporary. Now, I'm not looking right now. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker.
There you go. Yeah. And I like where it says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He didn't say he's going to the house of the Lord. He's already there. So, see, we're in the house of the Lord, and we're going to dwell there forever.
Forever.
Yeah. And I like that goodness and mercy. You know, if you're ever going through something, you're looking forward. You're seeing problems that you have and things that are overcoming and things that threaten you. But don't forget to look behind you, because there's something that's getting closer and overtaking you. What is that? Goodness and mercy. They're chasing you down. They're not just available. And you have to beg, oh, God, please give me your goodness. He didn't say that. No, they're right there. They're right there. They're chasing you down. They're going to follow you all the days of your life.
Amen.
All right, let's go to the next. You got another slide there? Yeah, there you go. Here's an important point, so I put it on the PowerPoint. Saved or lost to a sheep is defined in relationship to the shepherd. So, if you're saved, how do you know you're saved? There's my shepherd right over there. Yeah. So, yes, I am saved because I am in relationship to that shepherd. He knows my name. I'm secure. I'm safe in him. So I like to keep that in mind. Read that next one, Jason, and make a comment on it.
Salvation is about a relationship more than a final destination. We need to work on our relationships. And those that have been married very long know that you have to work on that relationship. And you shouldn't. I've done some marriage counseling, and one time I asked a person, why do you want to marry that woman? He said, well, you know, she's a good cook, and she washes my clothes, yeah, and she can clean the house, and then she can help pay the bills. I said, it'll never work. What? No. I said, the reason you marry her, it should be because I love her so much, I want to spend the rest of my life making her happy. And that's what we should be thinking of about the Lord, not what we can get out of him, but, Lord, what can I do for you, Lord? That should be our relationship.
Yes. Trusting in Christ as your Savior is not fire insurance.
No.
And that's what some people do. And oftentimes the preacher accepts that. He preaches an emotional sermon and saying, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, no. Everybody raises their hand. No, we don't want to go to hell. Well, then come down here to the front, and he leads you in a little prayer. But that doesn't mean you have a relationship with him of love and mutuality. He talks to you. You talk to him. You invite him into your life and into your heart. That's what he wants. Not just, oh, I better raise my hand. I better go down there and shake the preacher's hand and get all emotional so that I won't go to hell. But we know nothing about a relationship with him,
no.
About spending an eternity with him in this relationship of love.
Steve, well, like, if we live our life thinking, oh, I better be careful not do that, I might end up going to hell, we're looking at it wrong. We need to be looking at it. I love Jesus so much. I want to make him happy. Look what he done. He allowed himself to be tortured to death for me. I want to show my appreciation. I want to do what I can to show my love and appreciation for him.
Yes. And he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He's the only way to the Father. It's not just he's our religious leader or he's a model for us. Oh, he is that. But it's so much more. He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Look at John 10:14. Can y'all see it up there? I am the good shepherd. Who said that? Jesus. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, okay, we can say, okay, I get that. Yeah, I know Jesus, and I know he knows me, but how much does he know me? Look at verse 15. Just as the Father knows me. Now, let's put it a different way so we get it. As much as the Father knows me, and as much as I know the Father. Wow. That's how much Jesus wants you to know him, as much as he knew the Father. And as much as the Father knew Jesus. And as much as the Father backed up Jesus, Jesus will back you up. It's good to know. That's encouraging.
Amen.
To me.
Yes.
Yes, I need a teaching like this.
Amen.
What about that last phrase there, and I lay down my life?
He said, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And that's what he did. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. I don't know if there's something I wanted to comment on. I don't know if it's further down or something, but something I wanted to comment on.
Well, just go ahead and throw it in there.
I'm just going to throw this in there. Back or over in that area, there's not abundance of grass and water sometimes, so they travel around through the deserts to find the water, to find the grass. And when they find a big water hole, there might be four shepherds. And all of the sheep run to that water hole to drink water. And people, well, how are we going to separate them? How can I say that's my sheep or this is his sheep? But what they do, they go one to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south. And then they call their sheep. And their sheep know their voice. And they come to their shepherd because they know their voice.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, have you ever seen a bunch of dogs playing together? And you go out there and you call your dog? Well, he comes running to you because, you know, he knows that whistle. Or he knows that expression on your face. You better get over here. So how much more is it true with God, with him being our shepherd and us being his sheep? He says he knows them by name and he calls them out and he leads them and he goes before them. God is not sending us into the world without his presence. A shepherd leads his sheep. Jesus is still leading his sheep, and he's still head of the church.
That's a good point. He's not driving them.
Yeah,
he's leading
them. That's a good point. Yeah, he's out there in the front. So Hebrews, this is our last slide here, but it's a good one. And we're going to make a prayer out of it in just a minute. But it says, let the God of peace, who brought us again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you might do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So here's what the good shepherd does. And he's the good shepherd because he's alive. You know, we have a living Savior. We've got a living Word. And he leads us by living waters. So we've got all of that stuff going for us. That's why he's the great shepherd. He's alive. He can do something about your situation. No, go back to the other one. I'm sorry. I'll give. I didn't know I had that other one on there, but we'll close with that. So that's what the great shepherd will do. And here's what he can do and he will do. So read that part again there for us in verse 20.
He equipped you with everything good that you may do his will. Equips us. He equips us with everything we need to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom to be glory forever.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes. All right, so here's a good way to pray that. You personalize this. So basically, you thank God that this is the way he is and this is the kind of shepherd he is. Lord, I thank you that you, who brought Jesus again from the dead, you're the great shepherd, and I am your sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant. And here's what you're going to do for me today, Lord. I accept it, I believe it, and I thank you for it. I am equipped with every good thing that I might do his will. In other words, I'm capable, or you wouldn't have asked me to do it.
Amen.
And you are working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Well, that's basically it. The next little slide here, I just got to looking at a song. I looked it up again. I hadn't heard it in so long. The 90 and 9, y'all remember that? There were 90 and 9 who safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one wandered off, far off from the gates of gold. Well, so anyway, I found the last verse, and I thought it was pretty cool because we know the shepherd goes out. He leaves the 90 and 9, goes out and finds that one who had wandered off and brought him back to the fold.
Amen.
So here's the powerful conclusion to that song. But all through the mountains, thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there rose a glad cry at the gates of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed round the throne. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Praise God. He brings back his own. He goes out. He finds them.
Yeah.
He finds them and brings
them. We didn't find him.
No.
He found us. All right. Well, God bless y'all. I hope y'all like this format. I just thought it would be good to kind of have a little tit for tat and back and forth there. While he's talking, I'm thinking. And while I'm talking, he's thinking. So God bless y'all.